Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Merry Christmas, church family, and welcome to our Calvary Christmas Eve Candlelight Family Service, my favorite service of the whole year. So exciting. We're so glad that you've joined us tonight, especially all of our guests, our extended family, and our friends. And I want to take a minute and invite you to our service tomorrow for our Christmas Day service. Now, instead of having two of our regular Sunday services, we'll have just one family experience together at 10:30. And then next Sunday, we start the new year strong with our family blessing service, also one service only at 10:30. So we encourage you to be there with us. Tonight, we bring our Searching for Christmas message series to a close as we conclude this season of Advent that we've been kind of walking through together, exploring the rich things that are significant and really define our Christmas and Christian experience, as well as our search for hope, peace, joy, and love. And each week we've saw another Calvary family illuminate the Advent candle as we've looked at its scriptural significance. And the last candle that remained is the Christ candle, which was lit earlier in the service. And it reminds us that Christ remains at the center of it all, at the center of our lives. Now, the four other candles are all very important, but they're only fully realized and experienced when our search leads us to Jesus. Christmas is that time of the year when we can all experience the joy and the light of Christmas. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, the people he spoke to lived without lampposts or streetlights. For they didn't have a lamp or a means to light it. They kind of groped around in the darkness and were even vulnerable to attack from bandits and robbers. But they understood what Jesus meant when he said this in John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus didn't say, "I'll point you to the light," or "I'll give you a flashlight." He said, "I am the light, the one and only light." You know, C.S. Lewis uses symbolism in his biblical allegory, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, to tell more about the story than meets the eye. Now, a symbol is when an author uses an object to represent deeper meaning within the story. For instance, the lamppost is kind of like the children's compass in the realm of Narnia. Peter, Susan, Edmund, and Lucy use the lamppost throughout the story to find their way home. So the lamppost symbolized direction and a way back to what is true. John chapter 1, verses 5 and verse 9, John tells us in his gospel, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And then if we jump down to verse 9, it says, "The true light," talking about Jesus, "that gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." I love that phrase in verse 9, especially from another translation, when Jesus says that he came as a light that enlightens every man. You see, I think it reflects the fact that all people throughout history have benefited from the coming of Christ and his redemptive life and his death, even those that have rejected him. Matthew 4, verse 16 says, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Now, light in Scripture is more than just a metaphor for illumination. It's also a metaphor for hope, peace, joy, and love. As a matter of fact, when I was studying for the messages throughout the Christmas season, I was sitting at my desk working on my computer and reading this scripture. And suddenly the light kind of blared through the blinds of the window in my office, and it was so bright that I couldn't even see the screen. I had to kind of shift in my seat and get up and adjust the blind. We're not used to seeing that big flaming light in the sky these days. You know, in our search for Christ, the light of hope, peace, joy, and love that only He can bring will extinguish the darkness of hopelessness, of conflict, of depression, and hatred. In the middle of this cold, dark, bleak reality, the warmth and light of Christ emerges as a lamppost of hope and redemption, a compass of direction, guiding us all home. See, the message and meaning of Christmas is simply this, that the light of the world seems so lacking. And when it seems overwhelmingly dim, the light of the world will do whatever He needs to break through the darkness and reveal to us the reason for hope and a path to redemption. That's why the winter season is such a great time of the year for Christmas. You see, on the 25th of December, the world is still dark. It's cold. It's gloomy. It's within the grip, the tight grip of winter. But whether we feel it or not, summer is coming. In the same way Jesus' birth was a turning point in human history. The world is still gloomy and there's still injustice sometimes, but summer is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. The dawn of a day of peace and prosperity is coming. All because God's Son was born in a cave in Bethlehem. God became human. So when we light the candles of Advent, we connect with the hope, with the peace, with the joy and the love of the gospel of Jesus. Christmas is a time of lights. Everything seems to sparkle at this time of year. And it's said that about 500 years ago, Martin Luther lit the first Christmas tree. Now granted, he used candles at the time, which was an incredible fire hazard. But from that time on, people used candles to light up their homes and decorate for this season. It wasn't until about 1895 that someone invented the first electric Christmas tree lights with all these beautiful colors. But now, all through the month of December, the night is lit up as homes and businesses and city streets are lit up at night, filled with these beautiful colored lights and decorations. But even the birth of Christ was decorated with lights on that night. There was angels who lit up the night sky when the announcement came to the shepherds. And the star that shone in the east, which led the wise men to Christ. Now, maybe the sparkle of those lights has grown dim in your life. Maybe it's missing. Maybe the flame in your marriage or the light that gives hope to your family and career has grown a little dim. Maybe you're struggling. But wherever the light of the world finds you tonight, may the angels' words to the shepherds on that dark, cold night come to bring you hope wherever you are in this moment. Luke 2, 10 through 11 says, "Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy.'" So hope had come to the hopeless. Light had come into the darkness. "Great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Now that "you" that the scripture is talking about is not just a random "you," it's you. This joy can be personal. This is someone who will take away everything that you've ever done that you're ashamed of and wash you clean. Someone who will give you a new start. Someone who will light up the dark areas of your life. Try as we may, we just cannot fix our own mess. We can't manifest our own destiny or purpose. But He made a way for you. He sent His Son into the world to light it up, to bring you and I hope. So if you're searching for Christmas this year, searching for hope like the Old Testament prophets, searching for peace like the shepherds, searching for joy like the wise men, or searching for love like Mary and Joseph. Your search has come to an end. It can all be found in Christ. He came to save you, to illuminate your dark and weary world so that you could live in the light. John 12:46, Jesus declared, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." That is God's promise to you. Let's pray, church. Father, we thank you for the light that has illuminated the dark areas of our lives. I pray specifically tonight for those who are still groping around in darkness, still vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. I pray tonight that this would be the moment when that light breaks through and lights up their life. If that's you tonight, we want to pray with you. And it's a simple prayer. It's not complicated. It's a recognition of what Jesus has done for you personally. If that's you tonight, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and be my Savior, that I may live with your hope, your joy, your love, and your peace. And Father, I pray for all those that are walking with you, that you would strengthen their resolve, that you would strengthen their testimony, that they would proclaim the good things that you've done, and that Jesus, you would remain at the center of all that they are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now, as we conclude our Christmas Eve service, we do so by candlelight, symbolizing the light of Christ that changed the world and that illuminated our darkness. So wherever you are all around the world, go and grab yourself a candle right now as we take time to stand together from Israel to Ukraine, from Halifax to British Columbia, wherever you are, let's do it together. You could be in a country, you could be in Haiti where things are turned upside down, but tonight we can experience your peace as we stand and pray and sing together and trust God and Christ at the center of everything that we do, that we would find that peace and remain in it. So church, wherever you are, lift your candles high, and let's sing Silent Night together.